Welcome to the next edition of Business Law Focus. Great having you with us. It's a pleasure to welcome Johan Buertus to the show. He's been a regular over the years, and he's from Baker McKenzie, employment expert, labor expert in South Africa. Johan, great having you with us again.
Evan, always a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation. It's always such a treat to be chatting with you.
And now we're going to talk about something that is in the news. The headlines exploding today with the DA taking the Minister of Employment and Labour to court over the recently gazetted employment equity targets for businesses in South Africa. There's been a lot of reporting over these regulations, which are being called targets. But, you know, I think in this case, they're saying that they amount to quotas and that they're unchecked powers. Businesses are panicking over this up to 10% of turnover fines if you don't meet these targets. The targets seem quite extensive, but there are specific timelines to them as well. Maybe let's start with the business case. What do businesses need to do to ensure that they, you know, ready for these changes?
Yeah, Evan, thanks. Now, I've been following the press releases and the furore in the media with interest as well. Allow me to say that I think a lot of the concern raised is perhaps overstated. And my advice to businesses is that, you know, don't panic. You've been dealing with employment equity and with our efforts as a nation to transform our workplaces, you know, for almost the past 30 odd years. And what we're seeing is just a change in that the minister now has set targets rather than permitting employers to set targets, but essentially using the same source of information, the economically active population in various fields. So there are technical challenges that I understand interested parties are going to bring and ask the court to consider. And, you know, good on them. If nothing else, they're keeping a lot of my colleagues in meaningful employment, so I'm grateful for them. But I don't see, you know, doom and gloom. I see businesses just having to adapt to now adopt new five-year plans, you know, in September this year already, and then make meaningful efforts in order to meet those targets over the next 5 years. And importantly, keep better record of their efforts in doing so. And I'm happy for us to unpack that a bit further.
And let's talk about the timelines. You need to now start, as you mentioned, you need to get this new plan in place. What is the timeline? How long do you, I mean, you mentioned it's got to be for 5 years. When do you need to do this new plan or have it in place?
Yeah. So my understanding is the new plan runs from September. So employers would need to adopt and implement their plan as from September this year, but with a 5 year horizon. That does not mean that, you know, nothing is going to happen over the next 5 years, and you will only be held to account as a business 5 years from now to see whether you've met the target or not. I mean, what the minister has indicated is that there will be progress towards the target will be measured. So every designated employer is under legal obligation to submit their employment equity report, if you do so online, by the 15th of January every year. And in terms of that report, the minister has indicated that they'll assess your substantive compliance in respect of making progress towards those targets. So it's you know, there is urgency in the matter, in that you need to now adapt your plan to make sure that your plan meets the target set by the minister, you know, in terms of the amended regulations that have now been published. So you cannot just rely on your old plan as you would have previously done. But in many instances, you know, it'll be tweaking of plans. It'll be targets that are now stretched from, you know, what employers previously used. But it's not a completely, you know, the whole way in which we have dealt with employment equity has now changed dramatically. The dramatic change, it's just the minister setting the targets rather than businesses having the ability to set their own targets. So there is the statutory change that we see there. But I think importantly, there's a statement of intent from government side to say that we want to intervene and we want to make sure that we make greater progress towards achieving workplace transformation. Because in fairness, the pace of transformation in most workplaces, you know, has been that of continental drift over the past 30 years. So, you know, personally, I have appreciation for government stance in the matter. I mean, a court can ultimately decide, you know, on technical grounds, whether what the minister does amounts to overreach and whether they've, you know, met all the compliance obligations in order for the minister to be able to set such targets and whether those targets are realistic, you know, and achievable in the context of business. But I don't take issue with government's expression of frustration through the changes to the amendments.
One of the concerns on the overreach aspect are that, as you said, the minister now sets the targets. There seems to be a, you know, not, I mean, it's based on economically active population, but some of the targets seem to be, set, the basis for them is not clear. It seems a little bit unchecked is one of the arguments. But the other one, of course, is the minister sets it, but then also rolls out labor inspectors who can fine you up to 10%. Isn't that a bit of a concern?
The fact that the minister could enforce compliance with the Employment Equity Act and employers' progress in respect of their employment equity plans is not new. I mean, that's been inherent in the Employment Equity Act, you know, for years. The fact that you could have a labor inspector rocking up at your workplace and inspect your compliance, not only with the Employment Equity Act, with the Basic Conditions of Employment Act and, other legislation requiring employment compliance, that is not a new issue either. What we've seen is the minister making a statement to say that they're going to increase the number of labor inspectors from 2,000 to 20,000, you know, so a tenfold increase in labor inspectors. And frankly, as a practitioner, I think that is applying pressure where pressure ought to be applied. I think many employers comply with their obligations, but are unfairly prejudiced because they have competitors and other employers out there who do not comply.
Yeah.
So those businesses who do their bit and act in compliance with their obligations under, amongst others, the Employment Equity Act, you know, are unfairly prejudiced by competitors who don't have to pick up the tab for their compliance. So I think it's a good thing for business that there is greater enforcement, you know, in relation to compliance, because that will increase general compliance. I don't think we need more legislation, you know, in order to achieve greater, in this case, transformation in the workplace. I think we just need to enforce what we have already.
Mm. And of course, designated groups, according to these regulations, as they have been, refer to black people, which is African, colored, and Indian, women and people with disabilities. And then one of the other definitions is that the targets only apply to designated employers, which are those who employ more than 50 people. These employers must set their targets in their employment equity plans and reports as discussed. But now here's the big question, Johan, is what if you can't meet the targets?
So Evan, what the Act still allows is for employers to show grounds as to justify their inability to comply. So on very practical terms, there's no universe where I now have to go and retrench half my staff and replace them with people from designated groups in order to comply. I mean, that is not what the Act requires, and that's certainly not what the Act allows either. You know, you cannot terminate my employment on the basis of my race to replace me with somebody so that you can meet your requirements in terms of the Act. I mean, that has not changed, you know, despite what you may hear in some quarters. What employers can do is to say, I have not had to employ somebody, you know, in this grade, in this category, you know, for the past year, for the past 2 years. And that is why I have not been able to make progress in respect of meeting my requirement in respect of that category in that grade. But by the same token, so turnover, you know, you can also say that I've had to acquired a business. So my whole profile of my workforce changed because when I acquired business X, this was the profile of business X, says employees that I then joined. And that is a reason why I'm now worse off from compliance with my plan is concerned than I was last year, for instance. So there are various of these grounds that are in the regulations that employers can rely on. I think the the practical advice to employers is you absolutely have to make sure that your HR practices are sound and that you have proper record keeping of these various grounds that on a very basic and practical level cause us to be cause businesses to be slower in the rate of progress than what we would typically like. You know, so if you can show that nobody is retired, nobody got fired, nobody resigned, you know, in a particular role, then no court is going to force you to create a different role just for the sake of putting somebody in that role so that you can meet the requirement.
Gotcha. I mean, one of the scarier headlines is that it's going to cost thousands of jobs, destroy jobs, right? Undermine the economy, violate constitutional rights. This jobs destruction, the way you've painted it now, may not happen, right?
I've heard the figure being bandied about. I think 600,000 is a figure that I've seen in the press. I would love to see the research behind it. I mean, I can understand conceptually if a business contemplating saying, listen, am I now going to put up shop in South Africa, Botswana, you know, says, okay, cool, I'm going to go to Botswana rather because I can, the ease of doing business is much better there than what it is in South Africa. I mean, those sort of challenges we deal with, as do any other jurisdiction keen to attract investment. So I'm all for us making it easier for businesses to set up shop here, to employ staff. I mean, our unemployment rate of 30% is an absolute criminal. Yeah. That is where we need to move the dial. But I must say, I also don't buy into the argument that merely as a result of the implementation of the targets, we are now going to have this massive job loss. I haven't seen the research to support that argument.
Yeah, I love that point, that the focus must be on economic growth and policies need to drive that. And I think that should be the key test going forward. I think that's a great point, and we have to see how this goes. I mean, if we can expand and grow the economy through these types of policies that don't destroy and move beyond just being a tick box, right? Because I think in the past, the risk was that a lot of companies, you made a very good point earlier that some companies are not complying, and that then creates a competitive risk in the economy anyway for the one, you know, relative to the ones that do. So I think that is also a critical point, you know, just to even the playing field, as it were, and move beyond just the tick box.
I couldn't agree with you more, Evan. I mean, I think what, and make no mistake, I mean, I'm no apologist for the minister. I mean, I'm as critical, you know, as to a lot of the wrongs that we see, you know, as far as the employment legislative framework is concerned. But I think unfairly here, you know, the amendments to the Act and the regulations that we that we've seen implemented now, you know, are being targeted as, you know, the mother of all evil here. I don't think that is the case. I think what we have seen as part of the amendments, which is actually conducive to what we are trying to achieve, is that the minister amended the definition of designated employers. You know, so previously, if you employed 10 people, but your annual turnover was over a certain threshold, depending on the industry that you're in, you were a designated employer. So you could have had 10, 12, 15 people, and we've had clients like that. Mm-hmm. Now you need to form an employment equity committee. You need to consult with them. You need to submit a plan to the minister. So that sort of friction that is inherent in running a small business, you know, just because, you know, the business has a larger turnover, has been removed. Mm-hmm. So now the situation is, no matter how much your turnover your business generates, if you don't employ 50 or more people, you are not a designated employer. And that sort of change we should welcome as business, and we should welcome as people keen to see investment in South Africa with a view of us, you know, making moves or inroads into our unemployment rate. That is absolutely critical. If you allow me just to make another point in respect of the underlying need for greater efforts, you know, in order to achieve workplace transformation. Mm. If you look at the statistics on Stats SA's website, I mean, what that shows us fundamentally is that Black people as a homogenous group, you know, is still underrepresented in the workplace and is still underpaid. So the pay disparities and the pay gaps, you know, between, you know, on a race and or ethnicity basis and on a gender basis is vast. So we have to, as a country, get to grips with this, you know, and contrary to, you know, popular belief out there, you know, black men, black women, you know, black males, black females, and even white females, all designated groups, are still significantly underpaid, you know, when you compare remuneration, and are the victims of greater unemployment, you know, compared to white males, statistically speaking. Now, I understand, you know, when you stand next to the bry fires or the water fountains in most workplaces, you know, that is not the common view. Mm-hmm. But I encourage our listeners to go and have a look at the statistics and try and have a better understanding as to why is it necessary for us to try and kick on and achieve greater transformation in our workplaces.
Well, Johan, thanks very much for unpacking this, delving into some of the controversial aspects and giving us a really measured, sage view. Really appreciate it. Great chatting again.
Anytime, Evan. Thank you very much for the opportunity. As always, it's lovely chatting to you, and good luck.
Cheers. Thanks.